Good morning. I'm Rachel Miro, and this is the California Report. Students with bullhorns have taken over Wheeler Hall at UC Berkeley this morning, protesting yesterday's decision by the UC Board of Regents to raise student fees by a third. The California Report's Dan Brecky is on campus now.
There are reportedly 50 demonstrators inside who occupied the building overnight. I'm told by one of the protest organizers, who is not giving her name, she says we can call her Jane Doe or M. Goldman, that there have been 3 arrests so far, potentially 3 people injured. She says pepper spray was used in the arrest. She's here, and she's agreed to talk to us.
Hi, Rachel.
Hi, how are you doing this morning?
I'm good. How are you?
Can you tell me, is there a particular group that's organized this event, or is this kind of an impromptu rage or copycat rage, given that other campuses have seen this kind of action in the last week?
Well, it's certainly not a copycat. This is something that's been happening all over the country and all over the world. There are over 50 occupied universities in Europe. This is in solidarity with every one of those, as well as the occupations that have been here in the UCs, and also at San Francisco State. There's not a single group that's organized this. This is a lot of different students who have come together to take the space. The argument is that there is the money, but the money is being used not for instruction. It's being used for construction. That our tuition has been pledged as collateral, that we're paying more, and we're doing it for buildings that are not even necessarily accessible to most students.
Let me just quickly ask you, any sense of how long these protests might last?
Currently, the police are already in the building, but the students have barricaded themselves on the second floor. They've been holding strong for a couple of hours now. Students have been in there since at least 5 o'clock this morning when I think the barricades went up. And so it's going to go as long as possible. This is part of a 3-day strike that's been going on since Wednesday. So this is the final day of that strike, but there's no saying where it's going to go from here.
A similar situation is unfolding at UC Santa Cruz, and as the student just mentioned, protests have occurred across the state over the past 3 days. As for the match that lit the unrest, Los Angeles Bureau Chief Rob Schmitz reports on the vote at UCLA.
Hundreds of students pressed up against barricades and police in riot gear surrounding the UCLA building where, inside, UC Regents were voting on historic fee increases. Increases that'll put the cost of a UC education over the $10,000 mark for the first time in university history. That's too much, says Daria Watnick, a freshman at UC Santa Cruz.
I think there are other ways they could get money rather than making the students pay more, because an education is, you know, it's kind of priceless. There's so many people that could do so well with an education, and because they're raising the tuition, they can't get that education anymore.
After the vote, UC President Mark Udoff said the Regents were left with little choice. After the state legislature cut UC's funding by 20% earlier this year, he said the university system had to make across-the-board cuts.
The students are almost in a lose-lose situation. On the one hand, some of them are going to have to pay more money. If they don't pay more money, then they might as well tack on another year to get their degrees, because we're not going to have the instructors to offer the classes that they need.
Udoff is asking the state legislature for a $913 million increase in funding next year. If he doesn't get it, the university plans to cut freshman enrollment by 2,300 students. Outside the Regents' meeting, Mauricio Saldana rubbed his eyes. The UC Santa Cruz freshman hopped on a bus the night before to come and protest.
If it's going to go up, might as well just leave before I just can't even pay. What's the point? I'll go back to L.A. here, my hometown, and study here.
Saldana grew up in South Los Angeles, the son of immigrants from El Salvador. His father is unemployed. His mother earns minimum wage as a cleaner. The fee increase, he says, will be too much for his family to afford.
I got here at 3 in the morning. Yeah, and I slept on the floor in a sleeping bag. And I didn't really much sleep, so I've been awake the whole day.
Saldana, who dreams of becoming a high school teacher someday, says he'll most likely leave the UC system, return to Los Angeles in the spring, and try to enroll at a community college. For the California Report, I'm Rob Schmitz in Los Angeles.
There was a little bit of good news that came out of that UC Regents meeting. Good for thousands of people in South Los Angeles who can appreciate having another fully functioning hospital nearby in an area that doesn't have a lot of them. The Regents unanimously approved a partnership with LA County that clears the way to reopen Martin Luther King Jr. in Willowbrook, possibly by 2013. The widely hailed agreement creates a nonprofit to oversee the facility and turn around the hospital's troubled history of poor care and mismanagement. The former Bay Area Rapid Transit police officer, accused of murdering an unarmed train rider on New Year's Day, will be tried in downtown Los Angeles, so ruled an Alameda County Superior Court judge yesterday. Johannes Meserle's lawyers wanted the case moved to more conservative San Diego. An attorney for the family of Oscar Grant, the Hayward man Meserle shot, called the ruling, quote, the most important decision that will be made in this case, other than the verdict. A man who called himself the Cash King sits in a Riverside County jail this morning. Federal and state authorities accuse him of running a multi-million-dollar securities and mortgage fraud scheme. Gina Diamante of KVCR has the details.
After a 2-year investigation, prosecutors announced Thursday that they've broken a fraud ring operating in Riverside County. 38-year-old James Benjamin Duncan and 6 others were charged in a criminal complaint of using shell companies to commit securities and mortgage fraud that cost investors more than $140 million. Investigators say Duncan used an online video to lure investors.
I'm definitely not going to make any silly promises to you or promise you the moon.
U.S. Attorney George Cardona says Duncan did promise low-risk investments with up to a 19% return.
In fact, as you might expect, the funds invested were not used to do that. They were used instead to finance a real estate flipping scheme and basically to line the pockets of the schemers.
Prosecutors allege the suspects also falsified loan documents for investors. Riverside County District Attorney Rod Pacheco pointed to the example of a janitor earning $4,000 a month.
They changed his job description to, instead of maintenance engineer, they change it to engineer. They then tripled his salary to $12,000 a month on the loan documents so that he could qualify to buy homes.
249 homes wound up in foreclosure. Duncan is being held on $144 million bail. He and the other suspects are expected in court Friday. For the California Report, I'm Gina Diamante.
Tougher energy efficiency rules for flat-screen TVs are expected to remove the equivalent of 3.5 million metric tons of greenhouse gases from the atmosphere. But that's not the only move state regulators made this week in their fight against climate change. The Air Resources Board released a list of the state's biggest industrial emitters. Oil refineries and power plants top the list. We've got an illuminating interactive map at californiareport.org/climatewatch. Some of the state's largest wine grape growers gather today for a report on this year's harvest in the region that grows most of the grapes for cheaper wines. Central Valley Bureau Chief Sasha Coca reports.
Consumers may be cutting back on spending, but they're still buying California wine. Only now they're drinking bottles that sell for $8 instead of $20 or $30.
You know, when you were riding high off your house gaining equity, you could afford this stuff. Well, now you can't, but you still like wine. The snob appeal goes out the window when you can no longer afford to be a snob.
That's Peter Vallis, executive director of the San Joaquin Valley Wine Growers Association. He estimates sales of wine from grapes grown in the San Joaquin Valley have jumped 6% over the last 18 months, even as sales have gone soft for higher-priced wines. Vallis says he's trying to make cheaper wine chic and remind consumers that the San Joaquin Valley supplies close to 70% of California wine grapes.
We're the face of the faceless wine grape because people don't know where California wine comes from. Everyone thinks, oh, Napa, oh, Sonoma, and now Santa Barbara because of Sideways. Well, all those places together are still less than one or two of the winemakers that are based completely in the San Joaquin Valley making grapes completely of San Joaquin Valley wine grapes.
One of the keynote speakers at today's gathering is Fred Franzia, the Central Valley vintner behind Two Buck Chuck, who reportedly owns more acres of wine grapes than anyone else in the nation. For the California Report, I'm Sasha Coca in Fresno.
That's the California Report for Friday, November 20th, a production of KQED Public Radio. Our staff includes Danny Bringer, Howard Gelman, Seal Muller, Nick Vadinsky, Nina Thorson, Susanna Kim, Mike Lee, Matthew Richmond, Alice Daniel, Dan Brackey, Gabriel Cohn, Victoria Malione, Susie Racho, Ingrid Becker, Raul Ramirez, and Bruce Kuhn. I'm Rachel Miro. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by the Wesley Foundation, improving the lives of California's children. The California Healthcare Foundation, ideas and innovations to improve healthcare for all Californians. On the web at chcf.org. And URS Corporation, a global engineering and construction firm headquartered in San Francisco, providing engineering, construction, and technical services to public agencies and private companies. URSCorp.com.